This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. One player that Spike left out, a keeper, so to speak. Well, how about Mitchell Robinson, who's been out with an injury? So yeah. I don't think you could just, cavalierly toss him aside. So I disagree. I don't think this is the second least talented team in the league. It's got some talent. I mean, Julius Randle's an all-star. There are teams that don't have all-stars, so he's an all-star and he deserved it. Mike Breen is the voice of the Knicks on the MSG Network and the voice of the NBA on ABC and ESPN, and he joins us now on the show. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I have a question.
All right,
it's kind of like your reunion time with your broadcast partners, right?
Yep.
Doing a game with the great John Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to do it with Don and Peter,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So your old radio partner, your current radio show partners.
Mm-hmm.
How about doing a game with your old college radio partner?
Wow. Great idea.
Wow. I'd love it. Get me on a Knick game on MSG. I'll fill in for Clark.
No. It's the baseball.
Why the baseball?
Well, I do have one stipulation.
What's that?
It's got to be the Yankee-Met game.
Ooh. You know what? You're joking, but I don't think that MSG would allow you to do the Yes game. I believe that flip would allow you to do a Yankee game with me.
That's what I mean. Do the Yankees-Mets. It has to be the Met game.
All right, but you'll be on Yes when you're an MSG employee. I don't know if that'll fly.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Really?
It's a little business around here, Mike.
I was just so excited about this whole reunion friendship thing. I thought it'd be kind of cool. All right, we'll forget it then.
Yeah, because I'm sure ESPN wouldn't like you to slip over to TNT and do a game.
Well, okay, now that you've completely deflated me.
Yeah, I punctured your bubble.
Any questions?
Let's solve the question.
You know him longer than I've known him, Mike, but it's not the fact that he gave you that information. It's the fact that there seemed to be joy behind it.
Yeah, how quickly he responded with, "Nah, it doesn't look like it's going to work." Right away.
I think that would be great, but why does it have to be a Yankee Met game? Why can't I do a Knick game with you on MSG? Flip would allow it.
I suppose we could do that, too.
And you know what? All you right. Go through a whole long play-by-play thing, and I'll say Calhoun should have hit that shot. Mike and I did a game on WFUV, a Fordham game, and there was a continuation of about 2 minutes where there was no stoppage at all, and Mike was the analyst and I was the play-by-play guy. And I'm out of breath after 2 minutes of doing play-by-play, and Mike chimes in, Calhoun should have hit that shot. That was it. That's all he said.
Well, I was told when I was the color analyst for your play-by-play games, I had to voice my comments in 10 words or less.
Oh.
So I had to keep it concise.
Was that before or after don't step on my call?
No, you didn't step on a call. He was the sports director. He was in charge of the schedule. So if you did anything wrong, Your name's not on that schedule.
Don, you're being snotty. Why don't you ask Mike what he would do if somebody stepped on his call? He'd go crazy. He'd give him a look you would think it'd be okay if somebody stepped on your call. When you're in the middle of bang and all of a sudden Van Gundy is saying something, you'd have him fired immediately.
No, see, there you go, that one extra step that's not needed to go there.
But honestly, you're a Ranger fan. So if I'm calling a game and Dave steps on my call, do you, as a fan, do you appreciate his emotion, or do you say that's the wrong thing to do?
No, I mean, any old-fashioned play-by-play voice will tell you that they'll give you ample time to get in your emotion and your comments, but you can't step on the call.
There you go. Thank
See?
You. That's
All
a
right,
pro.
Where do you stand
He's
on
in the Hall
alerting
of fame,
this
Don.
Person, the individual?
He's in the Hall of Fame. I'm not, so you can listen to him.
Right, but I'm in no position, and nor do I feel like I should ever – correct anybody. I'm just happy to have the gig.
Wow. There you go, Mike. That sums it up.
Let's get to the big, important question of the day.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah, this is gigantic.
Mike, we got to ask you. This is important, and it's unknown. It's never been discussed in history. How do you pronounce the last name of the current New York Knicks head coach?
It's Thibodeau.
Thibodeau. Ah.
Tom Thibodeau, T-H. But when people call him by his nickname, it's Tibbs.
Got it. Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the way it's, at least I've always known it since he was back in as an assistant with the Knicks.
But that's not how you said it went down, Michael, when you talked to Mike.
Well, I just asked him about Tibbs, but I didn't think he actually said Thibodeau. I know that's in the Knick Media Guide, but I've heard people call him Thibodeau. So you're sure it's Thibodeau?
Over the years, you've heard both. It's Thibodeau, but they call him Tibbs.
That makes sense.
They call him Mr. Tibbs.
That's right.
Perhaps. It was good being on with you guys.
Yes, this has been good stuff. We've enjoyed this.
Now, Mike, did you think that that was a proper call at the end of the game yesterday?
Initially, no. I thought it was the wrong call. And I was in contact with Jason Phillips from the NBA League office. And then I saw Scott Foster's explanation. And then I called Monty McCutcheon this morning, the supervisor of officials. And they've all assured me that it was the correct call. It was kind of a unique play from a standpoint of, well, there's two things. Number one, for it to be the jump ball, the defender, when he deflects the ball, it has to cause the shooter to return to the floor. And that clearly didn't do that because even though Irving got his hand on the ball, Randall kept going up to shoot the shot. Now, once he got up, he had kind of lost his firm grip on the ball. And if he had lost the ball, if the ball had come out of his hands, then he could have come down on the floor and dribbled and done whatever he wanted. But because, despite the deflection, it really didn't leave his hand, that means the only thing he could have done was either shot the ball or pass the ball before he returned to the floor.
You know, I opened the show today, Mike, talking about how I just couldn't get over how good Kyrie Irving was and how good he is. And to get a chance to watch him all the time, you've seen all the greats over all the years you've done this. I mean, how great is this guy? I mean, do you put him in the upper echelon?
Offensively, he is one of the most skilled, creative players I've ever seen. He's up in that conversation. His ball handling, the various ways he can score, his ability to use both hands, his long range, getting to the rim, finishing at the rim. He is spectacular, absolutely spectacular. The word creative, Blake Griffin was Malika Andrews, who was the sideline reporter with us last night. She did an interview with him, and she asked him, you know, just give me a quick thought on Blake Griffin and Griffin's on Kyrie Irving. And Griffin said, maybe the most creative guard we've ever seen. I mean, he's incredible, absolutely incredible.
I've never seen a handle like that. It's like he has the ball on a string. He's unguardable.
Curry's like that, too, in terms of ball handling.
Right.
I mean, just spectacular. The two of them, you know, you want to say one's number one and one's number two. I'm okay either way. But they're up there as good as anybody who's ever done it in terms of ball handling and shot making.
So what can derail this team, Mike? They're doing this without KD. So when they're healthy, is there a concern? What would stop them from winning it all?
Well, for me right now, and so much can happen, but for me right now, they're the favorites because they've played this way without one of the most lethal scorers who's ever played the game. I mean, once Durant comes back, they're absolutely unguardable. Now, there's always the possibility of, you know, when a third great player comes in, it kind of messes up. Harden and Kyrie Irving have a great chemistry right now. Now you've got to add a third guy who needs his touches. But as long as they're willing to sacrifice and maybe not score as much when Durant comes back and Durant's willing to sacrifice that he's not going to score as much, I don't know how you guard them. Because the other thing is, too, you know, there were a couple of times where Harden had three guys converge on him. They've got really good shooters. They have one of the elite shooters in the game in Joe Harris. They've got guys that can finish around the rim in terms of lobs. You know, guys like Shamet, guys like Tyler Johnson. Luau Cabarro, they can all shoot. So it's not just these three stars. They've got a really good supporting cast around them. And they're only going to get better in terms of experience and getting acclimated with each other. So, you know, it is a little different in the playoffs, but try and think about who's going to beat them four times in a series. It's right now they are terrific. And you know, once Durant comes back, we'll get a better kind of overall view. But they are, it's one of the great offensive teams, or has potential. I shouldn't call them that yet. It's only been how many games. But they have the potential to be one of the great offensive teams in NBA history.
So many people, the negative they look at with the Nets, and we're talking with Mike Breen of ESPN and the MSG Network here on the Michael Kay Show, they say, well, they don't play great defense. First of all, I think their defense is better than it was, and they do D up when they have to. But is defense that mega important, Mike, in a league that if you're great, you're going to score even on a great defense? The Knicks defense is great, and the Nets scored on them at will for two quarters. So how important is defense?
Well, the game, the way the game is officiated and the rules has changed so dramatically, you know, from, you know, back in the Knicks to the 90s, that it's easier for the offense to score. I mean, it's just set up where it's a much more wide open game. And obviously, the pace, there's more possessions per game. The spacing with the just incredible range that some of these guys have makes it harder to defend in today's NBA. There's no question. And that, to me, that's one of the things that have been so impressive about the Knicks and their defense. In today's NBA, it's hard to do. But it does slow down in the playoffs. The pace does slow down. Rosters or rotations are usually shortened. You're scouting, so you can really hone in on a particular player's weakness. So it's not like they're going to be runaways. I mean, there are teams that can give them a battle. There's a bunch of teams in the East. I think Philadelphia, who is an excellent defensive team, you know, can dominate with Embiid. So, you know, it's not like it's a foregone conclusion. But, again, with them playing this way with Durant, they played seven games together, the three of them. You know, once he comes back, if they get in the same flow that Irving and Harden have right now, it's going to be a real tough task to knock them out and beat them four times in a series.
Any concern where Toppin is right now, Mike?
No, not a concern. I mean, you can watch him. His head is absolutely spinning right now. And, you know, certain players, when they come out of college, they could really use that summer league. They could really use playing a bunch of preseason games and have a full camp because the game's so differently. And I've always felt in many ways a lot of it is the front court players from college who have great athleticism. Well, all of a sudden, they're now playing in a league that every team has guys with great athleticism who are 6'8 and 6'9. So it's a bigger adjustment. Then add to the fact that, you know, Obi Toppin's used to playing, 35, 36 minutes a game in a 40-minute game in college, having the ball in his hands almost all the time. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's playing maybe 10 minutes a game, doesn't see the ball a lot. It's a complete different game. It's just a hard adjustment. And the fact that, you know, Randall has played so well and that's his position, it just hasn't been a chance for him to get acclimated right now in terms of feeling comfortable. You know, we've seen signs here and there, but then like a game like last night, it just, you know, he, like I said, his head was spinning last night when he came in the game for a short period of time. But no, there's not a concern. You've got to give him some time because, you know, he was such a great player in college that, you know, there's got to be a period where he adjusts and learns the NBA game.
You know what the best part, Mike, is about the Nets being a really good team? Because I look at things in a selfish way for my friends. For years, all the best teams were on the West Coast, it seemed like. And you had to have that long flight to do all the national games. Now there's been at least two games in the last couple of weeks that you've just driven to Brooklyn. I mean, that's great. That's much better than going to San Francisco.
Well, that's very kind of you to think that way. I didn't even have to drive to Brooklyn last night. I did the game from my basement.
Really?
Yes, and Doris did the game from her home in Philadelphia. It was one of those games, yeah.
So that's a great commute.
It was a nice commute. You walk up 10 steps, and my dog Holly is there waiting for me.
Did you have on cameras, though, yesterday? You still had to wear a full suit the whole night.
Yes. And some people like to wear the jacket and tie and then wear shorts. It feels so odd calling a game from your basement that I get fully dressed up just so at least I feel like I'm going to work.
Have you gotten used to calling the game off the monitor?
I'm getting more used to it, but as you know, as well as anybody that's done it, it has its challenges. You feel limited, and you know there's certain things. Some games that go smoothly, there's because nothing really happens that comes off the monitor or comes off where the cameras are that you can figure out. And then there are some games where there's a lot of stuff last night, and it's hard. You know, last night's a case in point, and it's hard to do because you feel helpless sometimes. I mean, I understand the reason why we're all doing it, but I'm desperate to get back to the arenas and call the games live.
You know, I was watching you the first day that there were people at the Garden, and I could tell, knowing you as long, you were actually getting emotional. It meant something to you to see us returning to some level of normalcy. I mean, was I accurate in that assessment that you were getting a little choked up?
I don't know if I got choked up, but I was emotional. It was so great to see the fans back. You know, that line I stole from somebody. I wish I remembered who did. Somebody tweeted it out, and it said that the fans are the oxygen of sports, and they really are. And you don't realize it until they're gone. And especially, like, in our position, we use the fans and the noise. It's part of our calls, and it's an important part. But it completely changes the dynamic. And even the 2,000 fans that have been at the Garden the last several games, it feels wonderful. I wanted to hug every single one of them. We're walking in, we're passing people. You know, I'm yelling, oh, welcome back. It was just so nice. And, you know, for Knick fans who've had obviously a rough stretch, for them not to be able to come to the Garden and watch this team that's so much fun to watch, and then they finally get in, it was a really cool night that first night.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So how important is it for them to get into the playoffs? I they have a chance. Even if they just win the games they're supposed to win, they probably get in. But has the expectations changed enough, Mike, where it would really be an honest disappointment if this team finished 11th?
No, it depends on how it happens. But no, I think they're... I think it'd be a great thing. Now, there's some people that think, no, the best thing would be for them to just come short, get in the lottery, and get in a high pick. And certainly that would be a positive in some aspects. But I truly believe to experience the playoffs, especially the NBA playoffs, are so different than the regular season. For these young players to have a playoff experience early, I think that's invaluable. And I think just as important as that is the whole key for this year is changing the perception of where the team is at right now. Let's face it, free agents didn't want to come because they're looking, now this team, they're winning, 21 games last year, 24 games the year before. I don't want to go there. But all of a sudden now, you've got some nice young players, you've got an all-star in Randall, and you've got a team that is so competitive and getting rave reviews from other players around the league that now the players think, boy, Knicks are headed in the right direction. I've heard that from so many players this year. Boy, they really play hard. Thibodeau's done a great job, the whole thing. And to me, that was the number one priority this year. Turn around the perception of the franchise around the league. And I think they have done that absolutely already. Would it be great to get in the playoffs? Absolutely as well. But I don't think it would be a huge disappointment because they've done some terrific things in terms of, again, their priorities for this year.
I could have sworn you just said Thibodeau.
It's very subtle, Michael.
It is subtle. That's a good point, Peter.
Well, the thing is, people like you and myself, Mike, we have class. We have a certain way of using the English language. We understand the nuance. Michael, he's doing his best, you know, but there's level.
It all depends on how you talk.
Hat's right, Mike.
Do you know, Mike, before we let you go, I just thought of this. We both work for ESPN. I think we could do a Yankee Met game either on ESPN Radio or ESPN TV. Why couldn't we do that?
See, now you're thinking the right way. You're not just shooting it down right away.
Well, you know what's happening.
Trying to come up with options.
Well, you Don, you get Norby on the phone, and Peter, you get Jimmy on the phone and see if you can get this done, all right?
Well, no, first of all, you don't need that. I know what you're doing there, Michael. you are asking Mike Breen to wield his endless power at ESPN to get you onto Sunday Night Baseball. Or
No.
That's
no,
what
no,
it feels
not,
like.
No, I'm not taking us. That's somebody's gig. They could fill us in for a Yankee-Met game.
I don't mean permanently, Michael, but what I'm saying is this man's the voice of the NBA. They would no doubt give him a The question, would they give a yokel like you an opportunity? And Mike could do that for you.
No, that's not what I'm asking, Peter, but thank you for trying to interpret it.
No, the only thing we can't do is the last thing you want to do is take somebody's spot, somebody who's supposed to do the game. And even if it's like somebody's away on vacation, has spent years being the backup guy can't wait to do the game. So I don't want to do that. I've always joked about, one of my bucket list things is to call a Met game. I'm such a huge Met fan, I'd love to call a Met game. But I realize it's probably not going to happen, and I wouldn't want it to happen at the expense of either the main guy or the backup guy not getting getting the opportunity.
You'd have to pry that game out of Gary's dead hands. It was just not going to happen.
Unless it was you. Now, I think you would acquiesce for me.
I would. Now, if I get you in the yes booth to do a Yankee Met game, would you prefer to work with Cohn or O'Neill as a third person?
I can't work with both of them.
Well, that's four people in the booth. Well, were you going to bring in Dr. Joyce Brothers, too, like Nathan Gunn?
Wow.
Hey, can we get a little bit more up-to-date reference?
Well, it's a Naked Gun reference.
But it's a Naked Gun reference, Mike.
What year was Naked Gun made?
Yeah, I was going to say, you said that to Mike like Naked Gun came out last week.
Well, but there's no
it's 30
other
years
movie.
Ago.
There's no other movie where there were nine people in a booth, Peter. Dr. Joyce Brothers was doing the game.
Fair point.
How about Ruth Westheimer? Would that have been more modern? Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on.
Lovely to chat with you guys.
Are you doing tonight's game against the Sixers?
I am.
And are you at the MSG studios?
No, not yet. I'm about to head down.
All right. Please tell Walt I said hello.
Yes.
Oh, you call him Walt.
No, I don't like nicknames. They bother me.
You can't do that, Mike.
I called Yogi Berra Larry.
They bother me.
I don't like nicknames. I couldn't call Jim Cott Kitty. I mean, he's 80 years old. I'm not calling a man Kitty.
That's a bad example.
Okay, I call Yogi Larry.
Go-to.
That's not true.
I call Bucky Dent Russell. I'm just not a nickname guy.
Okay, just another little peculiar... in your repertoire.
Okay, Breeny.
Now, by the way, Mike, before we let you go, it has been said by Michael that because of this pandemic, he is a changed man, and after things open up and he is fully vaccinated, he is not only going to be more social, but is going to try new foods. Do you believe this, Mike Breen?
I do, because I have noticed he's changed.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you noticed?
No, it's just that he realizes how wonderful and precious life is, and to try all of life's different wonderful things that are available to him. So I'm hoping.
And also, I'm going to start going out a lot too, Mike. So like, if there's a Yankee game and then a Knick game, and they're both the same night, I'm going to like text you and go, "Let's go out tonight, late night dinner at Del Frisco's." I'm just going to do it.
I love the sound of this. Let's just hope it happens.
I'm praying.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's not convinced, Michael.
Mike Breen knows my innermost thoughts more than you two guys who think you know me that well. Mike knows how I've changed.
That's why I wanted to get his feedback. That was very insightful.
There you go. Mike, have a great game tonight. I'll be watching.
Have a good call.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's the great Mike Breen. 1-800-919-3776. So you heard Mike say it. My closest friend in the world, he said it, Peter. Is that okay?
Not only is it okay, you know what I'm getting excited about? I think we should bring back like a very like 70s, 80s Manhattan vibe where like at night, what was the restaurant, Michael, that like in the 70s, late at night, all like the big time actors, journalists, athletes.
Studio 54?
No, not Studio 54, though. It was on the Upper West Side-ish. I'll find
Columbus?
Out. Yeah, maybe. Anyways, I want that feeling, though. You know what I'm saying? Like 10:30 and cigars being smoked, steaks going around, bourbons being poured, and icons like everywhere. That's where you belong, and you're going to take me with you.
And you know what else I've thought about, too? Hmm. I don't drink much. Occasional beer. You guys have seen it. Sometimes wine. I'm going to start drinking hard liquor.
Are you being serious? Really,
yeah, I like an adult. Like, give me Scotch on the Rock, something like that. How about
I think you would enjoy a nice old fashioned. I do.
No, I
want to be an old man. I want to have a real tough drink, an old fashioned. Does it have a skirt on it?
An old fashioned is a great man's drink.
Nah. Elaine's. Are you thinking of Elaine's?
Yes, I think
That's
I am.
On the east side. It's the opposite of the west side.
Confirmed. What street, though?
Second Avenue.
Okay, that's pretty east. There's no arguing that. Maybe that was it.
There's just one more street, sometimes two, according to where you are on the island.
You know, I was on the Upper East Side the other day, and I got to tell you, I think I've spent less time in that quadrant than any part of New York.
I used to live on the Upper East Side. I much prefer that to the West Side.
Well, you're wrong, but I liked it. It was nice.
How about that, Don? My preference is wrong.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's not a black or white issue. I like the Upper East better than the Upper West.
You can't.
Upper West is way too artsy fartsy for me. It's not me.
I guess that's fair. You like just kind of hot shots and money, fancy people. That is more Upper East. That's you.
You've really painted me as
that wasn't bad.
Cool. No, it's awful. It's awful.
Michael, guess what? I have good news for you. Guess what's in my hand right now?
I don't even want to guess. What's in your hand?
This was the one that you demanded I get, and I did it. Gem Mint 10, 2019 Topps Chrome, Fernando Tatis Jr. rookie card.
I think that your future child, Ricky Rosenberg, is going to go to college on that.
Yeah.
Like, you feel that good about this guy becoming an absolute GOAT?
Well, let's put it this way. The San Diego Padres feel that good. They signed him to a 14-year contract.
Yeah, I know. That did make me feel good.
It should have, yeah. That's a good sign.
I took
if he doesn't get
for
hurt,
her vaccine
he's going to be great.
Today.
Who did?
And
oh, your mom?
My mom for her first dose. And she's like, what's up with Peter and the baseball cards? Like, so people are noticing.
Have you even come close to getting an appointment for your vaccine, Don?
No.
Are you even trying?
Yeah.
I'm not.
You're not trying.
Not yet. Well, Don, what age are they at? Because Don's 50.
He's 51.
Right.
He's 53. Actually 53.
He'll be 57 on Saturday. But hold on. But what age are they at right now in Jersey? Do you know?
No, it's still 65. I was just rolling with Michael's question.
Oh, got it. Because, yeah, I know people
who
are getting...
You could actually fill in the blanks for underlying condition. You are eligible to get a shot.
Because you think he's fat.
No,
I'm just asking. I'm asking.
He's not fat. He by the way, he's lost weight. He looks tremendous.
Well, I have a friend, Cypher Sounds, who I do the Juanette podcast with. He gained weight at the end of quarantine. I congratulated him because he's now obese and qualified for the vaccination. It was great timing.
I don't know if you
Why
just qualify
smoking
for
too,
being obese.
It's not that much. I mean, the different, Don, for example, I right now weigh 180, and I'm no longer obese for my height. If I go to 190, I'm obese.
Do you know, Peter, I'm 6'4", 225, and that's considered obese.
6'4", 225?
Yeah, you're 6'4", you're supposed to be 180. I would look like Skeletor.
Hold on.
6'4", 180.
At 6'4", you're supposed to weigh what I weigh now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to reevaluate that.
They really do. It's not normal. It's not right. So the reason I ask about the vaccine, I know we got to get a break here. I know so many people who are getting it, and then when I really push them on it, to be honest, Michael, it's what you were talking about when you decided not to get it. They're all kind of people who are skirting the rules, and yeah, I'm just not willing to do it. I'll wait.
I didn't want to skirt the rules.
You're a big rule guy.
I'm a big rule guy. I'm a narcomaniac.
That's right. But in this case, it's hard to argue.
I report people that break rules. Not just I don't break them myself. I report people that break them.
Good for you.
Except for Patrick Ewing. For some reason, I came down on his side. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.